Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes, and I am the host of this show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. We're so excited if you've joined us today. We've got a great show planned. We've got head coach Chase Hodges coming on. He's the first national champion coach to make his appearance on our show, and we'll get to him shortly. I want to remind you of our other shows here on the UR Tennis Network. We have Parenting Aces with Lisa Goodman Stone out in Atlanta, Georgia. She comes on Tuesday mornings at 10:30 Central Standard Time. We've got American Tennis with Chuck Creasy, and he broadcasts at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time on Wednesday. Myself with the American College Experience. Thursday, we have the Florida High School Coaches Tennis Coaches Association Perspective, hosted by John Denise. And then I'm excited to announce that we will be adding another show to our network, Dr. Steve Clark of Eastern Washington University, who we had as a guest last week, will be opening up his show on June 23rd, and he'll have Wayne Bryant as his guest on that show. So we're excited about the things that are moving. If you have an interest in hosting a show on our network, please get in touch with me. You can call me, or I should say you should email me at jhaynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com. And I'd be glad to start a conversation with you to see if this is something that you can do. You got to be passionate about tennis, and you got to be willing to talk about tennis for an hour each week. And personally, I don't think that's a hard thing to do. But we know that for some people it's just not meant to be. But if you have an interest in it, then please contact me. We've got Chase Hodges. I think he's on the line here, and I'm going to bring him in just a second. But if you remember last year, Chase came in. He was the dual champion. His men's and women's team won the NAIA championship in 2014. And as of today, he is the men's national champion at the NAIA level. So let me see if I can bring him in. Hi, Coach Hodges. Are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Welcome back to the show. It just seems like the other day we were talking about your previous national championship.
I know. It seems like yesterday. Glad to be back on, Jason, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, exactly. You've had a very successful year, both on the men's and the women's side, ending with the national championship run on the men's side. Coach, I got to ask, repeat champions, when did you think you were going to be successful to repeat this season?
Well, I got to tell you, it's a lot harder to repeat than the first one, that the first national championship that we won in 2014. I really thought heading into this season, we'd have a good shot at it. But we were ranked number one in the NAIA polls from beginning to end, and it's just a little bit tougher when you have teams coming after you every day, especially in that national tournament. And We played extremely well. We were fortunate to win it. It was a little less dramatic than last season. We won every match 5-0 in the national tournament. So, the guys took care of business and, got up 3-0 after those doubles matches. And, as when you go up 3-0, you're feeling pretty good about your chances. And You know, real fortunate, got a great group of guys, and I guess the silver lining in all this is we got, you know, our entire team back. We didn't have any seniors this season, so, you know, I got to think we'll have a pretty good shot next season to three-peat.
Yeah, I was going to comment that you did lead from start to finish, and that's unusual. What were some of the things that you did to keep your guys on task for the season?
Well, you know, you hate to signify any loss as a turning point in your season, but we did have two matches in particular. You know, we won every match except for we lost two matches. We lost to Barry, who was the Division II national champion, and we lost to Hawaii Pacific, who was the Division II national runner-up. You know, we had some great wins over West Florida, who was the defending D2 national champion, and Lander, who was a D2 semifinalist. So, really, I think the schedule really prepared us. When we won the national championship in 2014, we kind of ran through the schedule. I think we went 22-0 in the season, didn't lose a match. And this season, you know, we really, you know, played the most difficult schedule that we could. And, you know, we peaked at the right time, and, you know, those losses kind of made the guys know that we're human, we can get beat, and kind of made them hungrier, and I think that was key for us and really put us in a position when we played Auburn Montgomery in the semifinal and Embry-Riddle in the final where, you know, we had been in tough situations before, so it wasn't something new. And, you know, I think that was the turning point for us for sure.
Coach, you mentioned that you defeated those teams all 0 at the national tournament. As far as I can tell, you have an 8-0 record at the NAIA National Championship.
8-0, yeah, 8-0. You know, it's luckily, you know, the way that tournament works, Jason, it's a 24-team field. So the top 8 seeds get a bye. So, you know, if you're going to win it and you're one of the top 8 teams in the country, you got to win 4 matches in 4 days. Luckily for us, you know, I do like the way they do the format there where, you know, once you get to 5, you know, you call the match. So, you know, you are in a position where, you know, if you can take care of business with your doubles play and go up 3-0 or, you know, dominate the doubles, then, you know, life becomes a lot easier, and you just got to get 2 singles matches, and then you can get out of there and prepare for the next day. And luckily for us, you know, the doubles was key. You know, that's something that in 2014, we went in every single match of those 4, we went up 2-1, and, you know, it was a little more difficult, whereas, you know, this year we were able to really zone in and work on our doubles, and that's something that we emphasized in practice every day. And, you know, we were able to implement it in the matches and really helped us in this year's national tournament.
Yeah, and nearest I can figure, you ended up with 6 All-Americans on that team.
6 All-Americans. Yep. Yeah, I mean we, you know, we had 6 All-Americans. You know, Jordan Cox. You know, we have 2 Americans in our top 6. We have Jordan Cox out of Florida and Connor Clements out of South Carolina. You know, we only have 3 countries represented on our men's tennis team with the United States, Australia, and Argentina. That's it. So you know, it was nice to see those guys earn All-American status and. It was definitely well-deserved, and, you know, I think that'll give them added motivation heading into the upcoming 2015-2016 season.
Yeah. You know, you have an interesting mix of players on your team, Coach, and I gotta ask some American tennis questions as we move through this.
Sure.
I know you have an opinion on each of those, but can you help me understand what your coaching philosophy is with these 2 teams that you've got out there?
Well, the coaching philosophy, you know, it really starts with the recruiting from my standpoint is, you know, we want to recruit the best possible student athletes that are going to represent Georgia Gwinnett College in the best possible way. And, you know, when we go through the recruiting process, myself and my assistant coach, Adam Jackson, we really try to hone in on kids that are going to really be good ambassadors for Georgia Gwinnett College and the city of Lawrenceville, and really represent us as good as can be. And the coaching philosophy, once they do arrive on campus, is to make sure that, you know, we're improving every day. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, I know we hear that all the time, but, you know, every day we want to get 1% better so that we can peak at the right time. And, you know, one thing that we've been able to do is peak that second week of May in the national tournament in Mobile, Alabama, and that's what it's all about, is getting to the point where we're playing our best tennis when it matters the most. It doesn't really do you much good to be playing great tennis in the fall. You know, we got to make sure that we're playing great tennis in May. And that's something that, you know, we gear up for. And luckily, our teams have bought into the system. Our practices change heading into the national tournament. And, you know, we've been able to really get the most out of our players when it truly matters the most. So that's kind of how we look at it.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. The idea is, I mean, you coach both the men's and the women's teams. Do these teams work together for you?
Yeah, I mean, we do hold practice at the same time. You know, luckily I got a great staff of a great assistant coach and some very solid volunteer assistants that allow us to give each team the individual needs that they deserve. So, you know, it works out well. I mean, the men and women's teams, you know, they do spend a lot of time with each other. Since I am coaching both teams, it, you know, presents different challenges than maybe I would have had with one team. But all in all, you know, the support for one another is always there. And, you know, I think that, you know, all in all, it works out very well. Our women's program is vastly improved. You know, we obviously won the national championship in 2014, lost 5-4 in the final of the national championship this year. We were right there, and, you know, we're same philosophy as the men's program, which is, you know, we want to compete for national championships, and, you know, both teams have the same goal, and, you know, they both work extremely hard to achieve it. And I think that you build a common respect, the men and women's players build a common respect for one another when they see each other working hard, training hard, because we both have the same goal, and it seems to go hand in hand.
Chase, you were very successful this year, and we don't have enough time to talk all about the men's and women's program, but just real briefly, those
sure.
Women must have fought real hard for you out that national championship as well.
Oh, they did. You know, we dealt with a lot of adversity this season. You know, we lost one of our players due to an illness, which was difficult. But, you know, everybody really rallied around each other, and, you know, going into that event, you know, we were, you know, really round of 16 through the quarters through the semis, you know, we were grinding matches out. Nothing was easy. And, you know, fought our way all the way to the final. And, you know, the match is 4-4, goes to a third set. One of those matches that could go either way. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way. In 2014, it did go our way. Same situation. We won 5-4 in the final. So, you know, all I can say is that, you know, our women's team will be back next season. You know, I feel confident about our team and how we compete. And, you know, it's really looking forward to hopefully winning it next season with the women. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens.
You mentioned the player with the illness. So was that the difference maker there? If you'd had that player at the Nationals, do you think we would have been talking about two national championships there at Georgia Gwinnett?
Well, you know, you hate to, you know, you never know what would happen, but, you know, all I can say is it definitely would have helped our chances. And, you know, I definitely think that it would have made a difference. But, you know, luckily we're going to have her back next season, and she'll have an opportunity to step in on that stage and hopefully bring us a national championship.
Yeah, Chase, The social media platform's been real helpful in keeping up with these Georgia Gwinnett teams, so you utilize that quite well. Man, your guys, they work out hard.
Oh, they do. They do. I mean, we're constantly doing morning workouts, 6 a.m. The fitness level on our team is extremely impressive. It's hard to get these guys out of the weight room, guys and girls. And, you know, we're in a situation here where I think once you have success, you want to continue it. And, you know, I think that that's played a big part of it. You know, once you win a national championship, I really feel that, you know, you want to get back to that moment again and you want to come through and win it again. So you understand that the work ethic's got to be there. And we spend a lot of time on our conditioning and we spend a lot of time in the weight room. And we make sure that, you know, if we are in that position, that if we're going to get beat, it's not going to be due to our physical fitness. We're going to make sure the fitness is there. And, you know, that's something that I can guarantee you, you know, we're not going to lose a match because of that. So, you know, got a great group of men and women that really commit themselves to that, and I think it showed off or shown in our performances.
Has the success of Georgia Gwinnett, has it taken on? Are there teams out there that want to play you now? Are there? Is it making it easier on the scheduling coach?
That's a great question. You know, this season, I think if you looked at my schedule in 2014 versus 2015, we did upgrade the schedule severely. So it has helped. We got more teams that more high-level teams that want to play, because I think in athletics, regardless of sport, what you see is when you have two high-level teams or any high-level team, they want to get that competition to get better. And that's something that I've seen. I think this year we played seven out of the top nine Division II programs. And, you know, we're in a situation where all the top D2s will play us. I'm just working on getting all the top D1s to want to play me. And that's been the biggest challenge, and hopefully I can break through. Luckily, you know, Chuck Creasy is at Division I Citadel. He played us this past year. He's going to play me next year. But as you know, there's not too many people like Chuck. Chuck's one of a kind. He's great. So just hoping that we can get more coaches like Chuck at the Division I level that will play us, and hopefully we can achieve that.
Yeah, it really helps the small colleges, too. In a couple of ways, you get the notoriety of playing the bigger schools for your kids. The school gets the exposure that you're playing those Division I teams.
Exactly. And we played a few. I mean, we probably played five or six since I've been here, since we started the program. So, you know, it's not that we're not getting to play any. It's just, you know, hopefully we'll get to the point where, you know, we can play more and more and, you know, put ourselves in a position where we can see where we really stack up against the best. And, you know, I'd love to play the, you know, the top D1s and kind of it'd be a good experience. Luckily, you know, our men went to the to Athens in the fall and played the Southern Intercollegiates and picked up, I think, nine wins individually over SEC or ACC competition. And, you know, it'd be nice to kind of see that in a dual match format. So, you know, we'll keep trying with the schedule and keep trying to play the best. And you know, whoever will play us will play. And, you know, I think over time our schedule's only going to get tougher and tougher.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the exposure that you get at winning certainly helps with the scheduling. And
absolutely.
I'm glad to hear that some of these Division I's are finally opening up to playing you. Coach, mm-hmm. I got to ask, do you treat
sure.
you treat this as a team sport with individual opportunities, or is it an individual sport with team opportunities?
I teach it as a team sport, first and foremost. You know, we're the individual aspect of tennis is obviously going to be a major impact for each player that we bring in. But, you know, ultimately the team is how everything should be built around. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we really try to work on and improve and put ourselves in a position where both teams give into that family environment and really fight for each other and work for each other and put ourselves in that position where, you know, you're only as good as your weakest link. And, you know, we really make sure that we kind of tie up any loose ends and spend as much time as we can off the court doing some team bonding exercises and really putting everybody in a position where they feel good and a part of the team. And that's something that we're continuing to work on and improve. And, hopefully everybody will buy into to that when they arrive on campus.
Coach, I don't need for you to develop all of your secrets there, but can you give us some examples of your favorite team-building activities that you have for those guys?
Yeah, I think really the main is just spending time together when you're not on the court. You know, whether it be, you know, going bowling together, movies, whatever it is, to try to take your mind off the competitive nature of tennis, take your mind off of the student athlete experience, and just put yourself in a position where you really get to know your teammates off the court. And that's what we pretty much do. We try to implement that as much as humanly possible, whether it be a cookout where we can just relax and just talk about life in general. But those types of events where there's really put you in a position where you're not just talking tennis, you're talking about each individual in their life and getting to know each other better. So that when that time does come, when you're in the heat of battle, in competition, you feel that tight-knit, close bond with your as a family does. And I think that's something that more teams possibly should do. I know it's something that we can even improve on. So that's something that I think heading into this upcoming season we're going to do even more of. So should be a lot of fun.
Just let me ask you, what do you think allows you to be successful there at Georgia Quinn? I mean, this is a young program, and yet you have just kind of exploded out on the national scene. What allows you to be successful?
Well, you got to have great support from your administration. And, you know, first and foremost, if you don't have that, Jason, I mean, you're not going to be successful. It's that simple. And luckily, we got a great athletic director, Dr. Darren Wilson, who hired me here at Georgia Gwinnett, and he's played an instrumental part in the success that we've achieved. When I made the decision to come here back in 2012, it was a tough decision to leave Division I. I was the head coach at Georgia State University right here in Atlanta. And, you know, it took a little bit of convincing for me to really truly believe that this was the right spot. But now that I'm here and have been here for 3 years, it's one of the best decisions I've made in my life. So, you know, the administration's been great. You know, they support the program. We're currently doing a complete renovation of our tennis facility right now. We're rebuilding our bottom eight courts right now, not resurfacing. We're actually rebuilding to get them back up to, you know, being having this facility as being one of the top facilities in the country. We got 16 courts here with our own weight room, own fitness area, players' locker room, players' lounge. You know, we have everything that we need to be successful here, and I think that's important. I mean, you got to have that, because if you don't have the support from your administration as a coach, then, you know, it's going to be tough. And, you know, I've said since day one, if I have the support in place and I have what I need to win, I'll get it done. And luckily, they believe me. So, you know, it's worked out well.
Chase, what do you love about coaching tennis?
Well, you know, I come from a coaching family. My dad was a head basketball coach at an NCAA Division II program, Lenoir Ryan University. He was the coach there back in the 80s. And my uncle Bob was a basketball coach. And just coming from an athletic coaching family tree, I think that it was embedded in me at an early age. Tennis, I don't know how tennis became the sport that I got involved in, but just coaching in general, I think, is something that I love to do, and you got to have a passion for it. It's something that you do 24/7, you know, depending on, I know some coaches may have office hours, or, you know, they may, you know, have different types of work environments, but this is something that, you know, at 24/7, I'm thinking about how am I going to get better, who can I recruit, what can I do to make our program better. And, you know, you got to have that ambition in you to be successful. You got to really be motivated on a daily basis. And, you know, I think that if you're competitive by nature and you enjoy competition, then coaching might be what you need to do. And I also think that, you know, you also, you know, you get to shape the lives of, you know, 18 to 22 year olds every day. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be in to be in some weddings of former players of mine and still communicate with a lot of former players and have great relationships with those players and really build, lifetime bonds with those players. And I think that's something that you don't really get in other professions. You can only really get that in collegiate coaching. And I really feel blessed and fortunate to do what I love to do.
Were you able to bring some of those basketball concepts from your dad into the tennis world, or have you developed your own concept?
Well, they help. My dad is my biggest critic. He's also my biggest supporter, really have learned a lot from him throughout the years. I remember when I won my first national championship, he said, "Well, you better be ready to win your second one." And I was like, "Well, can I enjoy this first one for a minute?" So it's one of those things where, the team concept, I think, of basketball really can carry over into college team tennis because you really have to rely a lot on your teammates to really get where you want to go. And whether it be playing doubles or whether it simply be supporting each other when it's the last man out or last female out on the court, there's got to be that support system in place. And one of the things I think that we've been able to implement is, when you walk out on the court just expecting to win as opposed to hoping to win. I think a lot of players, they walk out on the court and, their mind is made up maybe even before they even play the first point, whether or not they're going to win that match or not based on their opponent or looking up their opponent's record or, anything to that nature. And, one thing I think that we do a good job of is when we walk out on the court, regardless of who we play, there's got to be that expectation that you truly believe in yourself, that you can win. And it comes with confidence, it comes with belief in yourself, and it comes with preparation. And if you have all those things, then I think you can be successful. So I think that's our main ingredient to success here, just expecting to win when we play.
Thanks. Who introduced you to tennis?
Kathy Kim. I'm from Hickory, North Carolina. She's been teaching tennis in Hickory for over 40 years, and I was at a local YMCA, Hickory Foundation Center, and my friends just got into tennis, and something that I picked up, hit my first ball at 8 years old, and here I am 38 years old now, 30 years later, still talking tennis. So it's just something that, once I started playing, it's something that, I took a passion and just love the game, love the sport, love the mental aspect of it. I really love everything about it. I think it's a phenomenal game, and I feel fortunate to have been exposed to it at an early age, and that's something that I can thank Kathy Kim for getting me into the sport. And from that point on, my mom and dad and sister really just supported, you got to have a support system behind you for that junior tennis and just playing all those tournaments every summer and throughout the year. And, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, and I'm glad to be still involved.
You think your dad was a little upset you didn't coach basketball, or was he excited that you had to coach tennis?
Oh, that's a good question. You'd have to ask him that. I think, believe it or not, he really loves tennis. I remember playing these tournaments. He was kind of my coach on the road, so he would have a ball hopper of balls in the back, and in these tournaments he'd stop at some random court and feed me balls to get me ready for it, even though he had never swung a tennis racket himself. I think that once I started playing the game, it's a game that he certainly fell in love with. He still coaches. He coaches high school basketball in the state of North Carolina. His team made it to the state championship this season, so he's got a passion as well for coaching. And I think basketball, if you asked him, I think basketball and tennis would be his top two favorite sports. So it's just funny how it all works out.
You have some college tennis coaches or just coaches in general that you look up to and admire what they've done?
Yeah, I mean, Chuck Creasy, obviously, I think – Chuck, got a lot of respect for what Chuck has done for the game. I have an opportunity to talk to Chuck frequently. I think he's got a lot of innovative and great ideas in terms of upholding the integrity of the game. And, I was fortunate to to play my first 2 years at North Carolina State University under Eric Haze. Eric is now the coach at Mercer University, and you know, he was a very intense and competitive coach, but he also you know, demanded the most out of you. But you also knew that there was something in him that you could go out there and give 110%, and he'd be okay with that, win or lose. And you know, just that instilled something in me. And growing up, you know, just the early coaches that I had, you know, my dad, obviously, but, you know, Alan Farfour at UNC Wilmington, who I played for, you know, he was a more laid-back type coach, but he also knew how to coach the finer points of the game. And, you know, I think all these influences have really shaped who I am, and I think I took a piece from each one of those, which has helped me kind of become the type of coach that I am now.
Now, I mentioned earlier that you've got some Americans on your team, and I wonder this myself. Why don't we see more Americans playing small college tennis?
Great question. I think they should. It's a great question. What's that?
You know, the reason I ask that question is because you're winning. Your program is winning national championships, and you're playing a format that is not shortened by any means by super tiebreakers or shortened doubles formats or no ad scoring or that sort of stuff. So why don't we see more Americans in NAI or other small college platforms?
A great question. You know, my number one player is American, and my number four player is American, and they were pretty much unbeatable for us this year. Both of them were blue chip recruits, great players, and you know, I think that a lot of it has to do with getting over that persona that, you know, if you're not playing in the ACC or SEC or Big Ten or Big 12, a lot of American kids think that if you're not playing in those power major conferences, then, you know, the level is just not good. And that's 100% false. There's a lot of great college tennis programs, smaller programs that are having a ton of success. And I think that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, have, well, 33% of my lineup is American, 2 out of 6. And, you know, I think it's something that they now see, and for them to come in and be an integral part of our national championship run and to help us get to where we currently are is huge. And, you know, we're going to continue to recruit as many high-level Americans as we can. And, you know, I think that our success, the more success you have, then the more they'll listen, the more they take note and understand that, hey, maybe this is a good opportunity for me. And I think as time passes, more and more are going to realize that, you know, regardless of how large the institution is or whether you're playing in the SEC or whether you're playing for national championships at another level, you know, you can make the moment as big as you want. It's totally up to you. So real fortunate with the guys that we have, and we're going to continue to recruit as hard as possible to get American kids here, and that's something that we want to do.
Are the opponents at the small college, I mean, are they beneficial to an American's growth as he travels through his college years?
Yeah, I think the small college experience is, you know, something that you are obviously going to have more attention to detail. You know, it's a situation where, you know, even academically at a large school, you're not going to be in a room with 400 other people and they know you by a number. You know, here I think at GGC, even though we're growing, we're close to 12,000 students. We're one of the larger, maybe the largest NAI in the country. But the kids still get that individual attention academically that they need. I think the average class size is around 25 students here at GGC. So, you know, you can have that large type college feel, but also feel like you're in a small college, depending on where you are. And I think that's great for growth. I think that the more influences that you have, then the better off you're going to be. Especially, you know, hopefully those influences are positive. But, you know, being at different other institutions. I was at Drake University, which is only 3,000 or 4,000 students, very small school. UNC Asheville is another one I was at, very small. Georgia State was over 30,000. So I've been at large major institutions and small institutions. And I think depending on the type of kid, I think it can benefit anybody. But, you know, when you're talking about American kids and American tennis going to these small schools, I think that you have an extra benefit because that support system is going to be even greater for you in a smaller school. Everybody's going to know you. You're going to have an opportunity to really be more engaging in your progress. And you know, I think that provides an advantage.
Chase, now let me remind people, if you have a question for Coach Hodges today, you can call in at 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. Chase, we've got someone here. I'm going to see if they've got a question for you, so hold on just a
second. Sure.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, do you have a question for Coach Hodges?
I do, yes. I am down in Athens, and I got to see some of the GGC players at the Southern Intercollegiate last fall, and the level looked really high. And then I saw in College Tennis Today that these UTR ratings, you know, that some of those GGC players are pretty high up there with some of the Division I players when they combine those. And I just wanted to ask Coach Hodges how he thought his team stacks up with those Division I programs.
That's a great question. You know, I think I touched on a little bit earlier, you know, we had an opportunity to, I guess you saw us down at the Southern Intercollegiates. I think we picked up 9 or 10 wins against ACC, SEC competition. The UTR ranking system, I don't know. Jason, are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am. I'm a big proponent of the UTR. I think it adds depth to college systems.
Right, and I think what the caller's referring to, I think the UTR ranking system is actually, from what I've seen, it's more accurate than what the current ranking system is. You know, it really applies, I think, the most recent 30 results. So you have an opportunity to really see how players stack up against each other, regardless of Division I, Division III, Division II, NAIA. You can really get a better feel for how they would play against certain players. So I think the in those rankings that the caller may be referring to, I think I haven't seen those, but I would imagine that, you know, it gives you a pretty good idea of where, you know, an NAIA top player like a Jordan Cox, who's our top player, would fare against other players. And I think that the more we can have college tennis supporting each other, regardless of division, then I feel like the better we can be as a unit. I think that when you start dividing everyone amongst D1, NAIA, D2, junior college, this and that, then, you know, I don't think that we can truly reach the goals that we want. I think that establishing a common ground amongst all divisions is something that, whether it be through rankings with the UTR, as the caller stated, or whatever, is a huge way to get college tennis as a movement even further.
Well, thanks for taking my question, and sir.
No, I was just asking if you had any other questions.
Well, no, I just wanted to ask about that because from what I saw, like I say, I just thought the level was indeed really high, and I would like to see more intercollegiate play. You know, I'd like to see more team matches. Like Coach Hodges said, he played Coach Creasy in the Citadel. I would like to see some of these, you know, strong D1s play these strong D2s and D3s and NAIs. I think it could only be good for the game. But I appreciate you taking my call. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chase, you and I both agree that more interdivisional play would help this sport out, right?
I think it'd be great. You know, I think that, you know, one of the ways that they've implemented it somewhat is that small college national tournament. The winner of that event goes to the event in New York City with all the individual regional winners in Division I. They do. You do have one bid secured for whether it be a NAIA D2 national champion, D3, when everybody meets in Sumter, South Carolina. Now the winner of that event gets to go to New York and compete in January, November in the fall for the ITA individual event. I think the more of that, the better, and I think that it only makes college tennis as a whole stronger, and hopefully more coaches can see that and adopt that and understand that, you know, we're all in this together and we want to grow the game as much as we can and get as many fans out to support college tennis as humanly possible.
And we seem to see a little bit of this in the other sports. You know, football, they'll play some non-BCS type teams, and basketball, they'll play different divisions as well. But in tennis, I've always been a fan of trying to incorporate more interdivisional play. I don't understand why the ITA doesn't invite a team to the national indoor championships. I don't understand why they don't play on the opening the kickoff weekend. I can't understand why they don't invite a team like yours to play, in the weekend, because they start off with four teams. Even if they just started off with six and added a couple of small college programs, it would tremendously help out all programs.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it would address the question you had earlier in terms of truly showing, you know, maybe these American kids or the parents or anybody in general the exact level of a program like a Georgia Gwinnett or whatever program, a Barry at a Division II, any of those top-level programs, gives them an opportunity to showcase where they are against the top Division I talent. So, you know, maybe that's something, you know, that could happen in the future. I think that it would be good for all teams involved. I mean, I know that, the junior college national champs, I believe that was ASA this year. Even at the junior college level, you got some phenomenal tennis players that, it'd be great to see kind of be able to gauge, you know, you'd have a better gauge for those different levels. And the Division III, as you know, I mean, there's phenomenal tennis being played in Division III. A lot of Americans choose to play NCAA Division III. I've seen it first and foremost. I mean, locally here in Atlanta, Emory is one of the, you know, top five or six Division III programs year in and year out. And they got some great players. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if you threw them all into one pot, how that would shake out.
Chase, now, do you and your program, do you have any rivalries yet? I mean, you're a young program, so that's why I asked.
Right. Well, I think Auburn Montgomery has become a rival. They were kind of the NAIA tennis. They've won so many national championships. I don't even know the exact number, but we were kind of the new kid on the block, and you know, their women did beat us in the national championship final. Our men have been fortunate enough to beat them in the national semifinals the past 2 years. I think we've established a rivalry with them. And I think that it's a good, healthy rival. I think we both programs make each other better. I think Emory Riddle, we've played them in the national championship. They're right out of Daytona Beach the past two seasons. The women played their women in the 2014 national championship. I think that's kind of developed into something. But really, I think it all comes down to, you know, the teams that you kind of see year in and year out on that national stage, they kind of become your rivals. And, it's just so happened that those two stick out in my mind at the moment.
Yeah, it helps fuel a program whenever you can get some rivals going, because you can add those into the winning season, you know, as a dual match. And I don't know if you and Auburn Montgomery would play each other before the Nationals, but, to get to see those teams year in and year out definitely helps build that camaraderie in the team format.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we see these teams in the fall and the regional events and the individual events, so you do get – some sort of feel for as to what you're going to be competing against. But ultimately, you know, you can throw all that out the window when you're playing in May. A lot of things can happen from the beginning of a year in August all the way to May. So, we just have to make sure that we just focus really on ourselves and try to improve the team that we have here at Georgia Gwinnett as much as we can, and you know, kind of let the competition worry about us. That's kind of how I coach our team, is just to focus on ourselves, and hopefully the rest will take care of business. And you know, we just got to get better as a team every day and put ourselves in the best position when it matters.
Coach, one of the questions I had written down was, what are you losing off your team? And you've already answered that question, so let me ask, what are you adding to this team?
Well, we only on the men's side, we only had 7 players this season, and all 7 of those guys are coming back. We have added 1 player that will be joining our team. I can't comment on him yet because he's still working out all his eligibility and that process, but we're going to have 8 guys on the team. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, every guy back that we had will be back, and, you know, we'll have 2 seniors. My number 3 player, Matias Atin from Argentina, he'll be a senior, and Luke Moreland from Australia will be my other senior. So we'll only have 2 seniors on the squad next season, so we feel pretty good about where we are. And then on the women's side, same situation. We got everybody back. We didn't graduate anybody. And, you know, we're actively recruiting right now to bring a high-level girl in. And, you know, we got a couple that we're just waiting to hear back on. So, you know, normally I'm recruiting and bringing in 2 or 3 players, but it just so happened this year that we didn't have we don't have anybody leaving. So it's a little different scenario than what I'm accustomed to, but you know, we do have everybody coming back, which is, I guess if you look at this year's results, that should be considered a good thing, but still gotta improve and get better, and you know, hopefully we can win it again.
I guess that's what we forget in this, is that your program is a young program, so these are all kind of first-year starters for you, right, Coach?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the 2 seniors that I have, the program's been in existence for 3 years. We started the program July 1st, 2012. That was my first day on the job, and that 2012-2013 year, which was our first year, we weren't eligible for postseason competition, so the 2013-2014 year, last year was our first year where we were eligible for competition. So the seniors that I have, you know, they've been here for 3 years. So they're heading into their senior season, and they've been Grizzlies since day one, since they got here. So it's funny that, you know, we're finally getting to the point where we're graduating kids that, you know, arrived here when we started the program. So come a long way.
Has it been a surprise to you that when you get to Nationals that you are kicking everyone's butt as well as you do?
Well, I mean, this year with the men, you know, the women, as you know, lost in the final, but with the men, it was just that emphasis that I stressed. I mean, really the guys went out and, you know, the past 5-6 weeks leading up to the national tournament, literally all we did was doubles play in practice. I mean, it was all that we concentrated on. So, you know, like I said, it's a different format than Division I. It's a 9-point format. Each doubles match counts the same, or counts 1 point. When you go up 3-0 and you feel extremely good about your 3 doubles teams, I mean, you got a great shot to win the thing. So, you know, like I said, our doubles play was flawless in the national tournament. And that's something throughout my coaching career, I don't know why, but I've seemed to struggle a little bit with doubles and have teams that are much stronger in singles. And, you know, this year, you know, it was kind of the opposite. We were we had our doubles combinations picked really perfectly with the right partners playing together in the right positions. And, you know, I think, you know, kicking butt, I think, you know, it wouldn't have been possible if we didn't have those doubles in line with, you know, what we eventually had with going up 3-0. So that played a huge part of it in the whole national tournament.
Well, I had heard a friend of mine early on tell me that doubles is where a coach can have the most influence on his team, because singles tends to be the heart of the player and their ability to overcome. You kind of agree with that, that coach is very important in the doubles?
Yeah, doubles in general. I mean, there's so much strategy to doubles and so much about communication, and, you know, it's teamwork is really important. You got to be playing with a partner that, number one, you get along with on and off the court. You got to believe in each other. And really, you know, the three teams that we put out there, you know, they all worked well together. They were extremely positive, and they believed. And, you know, they felt great about playing with each other. And, you know, I think that was huge. I think what you said is accurate. I think that most of the times in singles, the better player's going to win. You know, a lot of the times it eventually pans its way out. But doubles is much less predictable. You never know what's going to happen, especially in an eight-game pro set. You get off to a rough start. You know, you're down an early break or down 3-0 early. It's tough to come back. So you really need to take care of the finer details with your doubles, and that's something luckily we were able to do.
Yeah, it seems like that this 3-0 lead that you seem to be able to get at these national events is a difference maker, and you've mentioned doubles several times. Is that something that y'all work real hard on in practice?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something we're going to continue to work hard on. I mean, just the way the format is, you know, it's if you go down 3-0 and you're not very strong in doubles, you're in a tough position. I mean, you got to win 5 out of 6 singles matches to win the match. And, you know, I think doubles really sets the tone for the match. I mean, really, I mean, if you can carry the momentum from playing strong doubles into your singles, you're going to have a lot of success. And, you know, that's something that we're going to continue to work extremely hard on is our doubles and get it as good as we can and, you know, feel good about it. So I think that's huge, especially when you lead the match with those 3 points on the line. It goes relatively quick. A pro set normally is going to be 45 minutes to an hour. So 1 hour into the match, you know, you have a score, you have guaranteed points, and you know exactly what you need to do heading into singles. And that's something that, you know, we feel if we have a lead, whether it be 2-1 or 3-0, we feel like if we just have a lead going into singles that, you know, the majority of the time we're going to win the overall match. So that's something that we'll continue to work hard on.
Now, how long did you get to enjoy the national championship before you started thinking about next year, Coach?
I need to get better at enjoying these things because, you know, I'm already thinking – you got me thinking about next year already. You know, and, I mean, it's one of those things where I think that you need to – as I get a little older, I think that I'm starting to really appreciate it a little more because, you know, you never know, you know, when this will end or anything to that nature. I mean, you want to keep it going as long as you can. But, you know, ultimately you need to sometimes sit back and say, wow, this is amazing what we've been able to accomplish. I need to sit back and enjoy this, not think about what I need to do for the program to get better. And that's something that I'm slowly getting better at, slowly getting better at it. So I wouldn't say I've totally taken off and enjoyed, but I feel like I'm starting to appreciate it more. And, you know, when the time comes around again, we'll be hungry for another one, that's for sure. But I think it is important to sit back and reflect sometimes and appreciate what the program's done and just enjoy.
Well, I'm sure the school's enjoyed all the exposure that your programs have given to school, and you're only one of three sports, and I say that, I mean, there are three sports on each side, men's and women's.
Right.
And, you know, in the short time that you've been there, the national championships have brought a lot of notoriety to Georgia Gwinnett, especially in the tennis world.
Yeah, it has, and, you know, that's something that, you know, Georgia Gwinnett's a great place. You know, we've had a lot of success early on, and I think that people are starting to take note of Georgia Gwinnett as a tennis program, as a tennis school. You know, our other programs have had some success as well, and, you know, it's something that we definitely want to continue, and, you know, you hate to use the word dynasty, but, you know, we have won three national championships and we're nowhere near that right now. But that's something that we're going to want to aspire to, is to build a dynasty and, you know, continue to be competing for national championships. And hopefully, you know, 6-7 years down the road, you know, when we're talking, we can talk about that word and it can actually be relevant and mean something. So I guess time will tell with that.
Coach, are you telling me that for the next 5 years I'm going to be interviewing you?
I don't know. I hope. I mean, hopefully, I'm enjoying these yearly. You know, this is 2 years in a row. You know, so I guess if I don't talk to you, we didn't have a very good year. We didn't win it, but you know, hopefully, you know, we can lock this in on an annual basis. That'd be phenomenal. But you know, we're still going to have to get out there and get it done, and you know. It'd be nice to talk to you on an annual basis.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask, you get started August, September. What changes are you going to make in your fall schedule and then spring schedule? Can you give us some specifics?
Yeah. The fall schedule, the men, we always open up at the Southern Intercollegiates. Manny Diaz down at UGA invites us to that event every year. It's pretty much us and ACC and SEC schools, so it's a great opportunity for our guys to get exposure. And then after that, our men and women's programs will go to our ITA regional, which is in New Orleans. Then after that, my hope is that we can have some regional champions, which we were fortunate enough to do last year, and that's when you go to Sumter, South Carolina, and participate in the ITA National Small College Championships. Then we talked about that earlier. If you're fortunate enough to win that, you get a bid to New York. We also host an event called the Grizzly Open, where we get a ton of college teams coming in and playing our tournament. I think we had over 20 last year. So we'll host a fall event at our place. And then in the spring, you know, we looking at the schedule now, I got it pulled up. I mean, you know, we're playing Barry twice. They're out of Miami. They got, you know, as I said, the D2 national champs. We're playing West Florida, another great program. We're playing Armstrong Atlantic. We're playing, we obviously got Chuck and Citadel on the schedule. We got Embry-Riddle on the schedule. We got Hawaii Pacific. They're two in the country in Division II. We got them on the schedule. We got St. Leo. They're one of the top five Division II programs. We got Lander. They're 7 or 8 in the country. And then we have some NAIA competition against some of the top NAIA schools coming in, programs like Xavier, New Orleans, Lindsey Wilson, teams of that nature. We do have Troy on the schedule, a Division I opponent. Scott Kidd up in Troy is doing a good job up there. You know, so we have a tough schedule. You know, we're putting ourselves in a position where we're going to be hosting two different weekends, one in late February and one the second week of March, where we'll have 7 or 8 teams coming in to our place, and we're going to play give each team 3 matches over the weekend. So it'll be an opportunity for teams to get a lot of matches. So, you know, it's working out well.
Yeah, Chase, there are a lot of good things going on in Georgia Gwinnett, and I just want to thank you for coming back on the show today to discuss those things.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me, and you're doing a great job. And as I've stated, you know, it's just great to have college tennis out center in front of everybody, and I just want to do whatever we can to grow the game. I know you're doing your part, and you're doing a phenomenal job with Blog Talk Radio, and anytime I can get on, let me know, and I'll continue to tune in and listen, and certainly appreciate all that you're doing.
Yeah, well, I will I'll look forward to talking to you again real soon. You know, I can't have you on the fall and spring because I got to hold off to the summer to see if I can get you on.
Well, hopefully, you know, hopefully I'll be back on in the summer. We'll see. But I'll definitely be tuning in.
I think people like listening to the winners, and I don't mind having you on as often.
Well, we'll see what happens. I appreciate everything.
Yeah, thanks so much, and have a great day.
All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Georgia Gwinnett's Chase Hodges. He is, as he mentioned, and you know, we'll say if he mentions it tongue in cheek, but dynasty is something that's happening over there, and you need to pay attention to it because the school Georgia Gwinnett is, and they got a wonderful coach there in Coach Hodges, and he's building a strong program, one of the strongest in the United States. So glad that we got to interview him again, and I look forward to talking to him again next summer, if that be the case. Now, next week on the show, we've got Coach Brian Bolin. Brian and his men's team won the NCAA Division I tournament, and we'll be having him on to talk about his championship run and through the season and amongst other things. So I want to thank you for listening in today, and go outside and hit some tennis balls if you can. And make sure you drink lots of water. Thank you. Bye-bye.